Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two amazing guests. I have with me today Joe Rosensteel and Mikey Balk. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so let's get started. Joe, if you can introduce yourself and let everyone know where they can find you on the internet.
My name's Joe Rosensteel. You'll find me at Joe Steele on Twitter and artofjoe.com for my professional stuff, but nobody cares about that. Defocus.co for my podcast. That's where you'll find lots of talking and more things.
All the great talking and all the great things. Mm-hmm. All right, Mike.
Yeah, so my name is Mikey. At least that's what I go by on our podcast and my close friends. You can find the Middle Life Podcast, which is a podcast hosted by me, my wife, and our best friend. And it's located, you can go Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, iTunes, just search Middle Life Podcast. Also, you can visit middlelifepodcast.podbean.com.
Perfect.
All the things.
All the things. All right, let's get started with the important questions. Joe, how did you start listening to podcasts?
A friend of mine from high school had turned me on to trying to listen to the 5x5 shows like Merlin Mann and On Back to Work and Hypercritical with John Siracusa and Build and Analyze with Marco Arment. And this was sort of like the zenith of all that going on. So I got about a good year's worth of listening to it before two of those shows had wrapped up. And I decided that I actually really liked listening to podcasting, people podcasting, because it was easy enough to do during the workday, and it was non-disruptive for the kind of work that I do. It's all visual effects, like graphic stuff. So it didn't bother me to listen to people talking. I'm not like a copy editor or anything.
Right.
And on commutes, it was great to just plug that in because radio is awful for most of the bandwidth that you can get. I also got turned on via Hypercritical to The Incomparable because John Siracusa would appear on those. And I was like, oh, well, what are those about? That's how I got interested in all the other geeky stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with any of that other vaguely technology-related things.
Yeah, and I bet having that geeky, nerdy, like, stuff in your ears while you're doing other geeky, nerdy graphics-type things, was that a good balance during your day to keep those your mind, like, occupied in a happy way?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they talk about completely different things.
Right.
Like what my work stuff is like. So most of the time, I didn't really care what the subject matter was. I started to get interested in just the fact that they had strong opinions that they would articulate and that I could listen to that. I didn't always care what it was that they were talking about. So sorry if they are ever listening to this, but I just was interested in the conversations.
Yeah, I get that. All right, Mikey, what about you? What got you started?
You know, for me, it was a really slow, kind of steady transition. It's kind of like when you like start drinking a beer, like you don't immediately grab for a stout usually. And, you know, when you start drinking coffee, you drink a lot of that like sugary mixed stuff. It's not like you go straight for the black coffee. So like I didn't just find podcasts. That's not really how it started for me. I'd kind of heard about them, but honestly, I remember this is like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago thinking like, why would I want to just sit and listen to somebody talk for an hour? Like, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. I ended up with a pretty long commute to work, and kind of what happened for me, I spend like almost 2 hours in the car each day. I really didn't grow up being a fan of talk radio. For me, like the radio was listening to music, or I just listened to my own stuff. And I love music. So that's basically what I would do in the car in my commute. But, I would say about a decade ago for me, what transitioned was I started caring about sports. I know not everybody does, and I'm not going to go on a big rant about sports or anything like that, but I started listening to like sports talk radio, right? And so this was like, okay, I can enjoy people just talking about stuff that I'm interested in. And then about, I don't know, 6 years ago or so, 5 or 6 years ago, I started listening to a morning sports talk show called The Dan Patrick Show. And then it injected a lot of humor into that talk. And I thought, okay, well, this is even more interesting. And so basically what ended up happening, I started listening to more people talking. And then my best friend Jamie, who's also a co-host on our podcast, told me about a favorite band of ours that a few of the members started their own podcast on. And I thought, okay, well, this might be kind of cool. I'll check this out. And that's essentially what happened. I mean, I really liked those guys. I'd seen them in concert a bunch of times. And so it kind of made me feel connected to them, to listen to them talk. And I liked the content that they were talking about. And so it just kind of rolled from there. I mean, that's how I got interested in it and just kept doing it because of the commute. So yay commutes.
Yeah. What was that band and what's the podcast?
Oh, you're going to take away one of my upcoming answers to my questions, but that's okay. The band is called Emery. And they're kind of like a post-hardcore band. But anyway, the podcast that they run is called the Bad Christian Podcast. And so anyways, like I said, I'll probably get into that a little bit more in one of my other answers. But yeah, it's pretty good stuff. So
that's okay. You can talk about the podcast
Thank
twice.
Thank you for letting me.
It's acceptable.
Thank you for letting me off the hook.
All right. So what made you actually want to start making and recording the podcast, Joe?
Well, by virtue of following internet personalities, you kind of bump into other people who follow internet personalities. I don't know if you're aware of this phenomenon, Kathy.
I am shocked, but, Joe, shocked how this happens. This doesn't exist in the world.
Yeah. And so I was following Merlin Mann and a friend of mine, friend now, but I didn't know who he was back then, Dan Sturm, was tweeting up a storm. And so we hit it off on just talking about movie stuff because he also has an interest in that. And he is a director of commercial projects and things like that. It's different from what I do, but there was enough overlap that we each had opinions about things and conversations that we could have about some of the more nerdy technical stuff. And we realized that it would be kind of cool if we started a podcast together. There was also a third person, but the scheduling didn't work out. And so we just kind of barreled ahead with what we were doing. And what we were doing was, I think, 6 or 7 unairable things where we were trying to discover like what it was we wanted to talk about. And then we finally figured out the sort of formula to get us started, which was to talk about movies that we had each seen and try to convince the other of something about them. That's changed over time very quickly because in the beginning, neither one of us were, say, we were between jobs at the moment. So when we were having these conversations, we could talk about anything and consume any media. But we've narrowed that down to just one movie, and we will talk about that in one episode. And if that, sometimes it's a movie-less episode, but that's what I wanted to get started with. And it was mainly because I liked what other people were doing, and I also wanted to have those conversations. Again, I would point to the Incomparable, like the main show where they would talk about movies and comic books and stuff, and I would want to have my own opinions about movies and talk about those. So I was able to do that with Dan. And there was another podcast that I started with a friend, Marco Savic, who used to work for Igloo Software and then started his own thing. And we were both really interested in the tech podcasts that mainly talk about Apple stuff. And we had talked online quite a bit about how there was a very high quotient of people who were in relationships talking about the women in their lives as examples for certain technology things, and also talking about their children and issues arising from children. And we were like, we can't relate to this because we're both gay. So we started our own tech podcast. His schedule got busy, but then Micah Sargent, who has been on this program before, he freed up, and we decided that we wanted to do it together and continue along that path. And so I was very fortunate to have Micah Sargent because, as you know, from having him on and talking to him on other occasions, he does lots of funny voices. So
he's pretty
that's good for your
fantastic. Yeah. And adds that extra something that is unique and original. And I love that about podcasts is that you can always find a niche. You can always use something in your own life to say, oh, hey, my point and my topic is valid. There may be 30 other quote unquote, well, okay, more like 300 or 3000 Apple tech podcasts, but what I have to say is valid and what I bring to this table is different than X, Y, or Z, which, and there's room for that. And you can get an audience and you can have that growth and people will find you and listen to you and love you or not. And that's okay because there's so many other people in the world, which is kind of great.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that I do unhelpful suggestions with Micah, and that is not a profit-generating thing. And I would do it regardless just because I enjoy talking to him.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's that. It doesn't matter if anybody else listens. I just need an excuse to talk to other people. And that's fine.
Yeah. Well, and by audience, even if that is just yourself when you're editing or in the moment of that conversation, that audience is there and valid and awesome. So, hey, you listener, if you want to do a podcast, start a freaking podcast. Talk to your friends and bring something to the table. Whatever it is you have to bring is extremely valid.
I think that's something that's really important. I'm going to butt in here too,
yes, please.
To remember like about podcasting, because I'm kind of the person with our podcast that checks the numbers and I get so wrapped up into like how many people are listening and do people really care and stuff like that. And then, you know, when I listen back to the stuff while either I'm editing it or maybe like 3 months later or 3 or 4 years later, it's so cool. It's like a time capsule to get to go back. And then it makes me realize like I don't need to worry as much about recording this for other people as long as it's just something that I truly enjoy doing. And if I'm proud of it and I can look back at it later and go, yeah, that's who I was then, or that's the opinion that I had or something like that. It's so validating. It's so cool. So that's one thing I really love about podcasting. So
yeah, for sure.
Just to share.
Hey, Mikey.
Yes.
How did you start making your podcasts?
I'm going to go ahead and owe this one to our friend Jamie. He and my wife were best friends in high school. And so when my wife and I got married about 12 years ago, we always joke, he was the baggage that came along with that. And he's a really cool guy, though. But anyway, so he quickly became my best friend too. And then what had happened was over the course of, I don't know, like 8 to 10 years or so, we would just sit around like all the time. And he would come over and hang out all the time. And we'd sit around and just have these drawn out conversations. And we'd talk for hours and hours and hours. We'd talk about music and video games, celebrities, you know, pop culture, just our childhoods, because we're all kids of the 90s. And and we'd basically just sit around and just laugh hysterically throughout the whole thing. And I don't remember exactly when. It was probably about like 5 years ago or so. Jamie said, like, you know, if we recorded these, people might actually enjoy listening to them like as much as we enjoy talking. And I think we kind of put that off for a little while, but eventually that kind of turned into like, okay, maybe we should start a podcast and actually see if we're right or not. So it was almost like at first kind of like a self-validating thing. Like, are we really as funny as we think we are? Or is it just, you know, like after midnight and that's when like all the, you know, the giggles set in or whatever you want to say. So anyways, so we basically set out from there. Like, I started researching like how to do it technically and realized it wasn't actually that complicated to get started doing it, and it wasn't that expensive either. And so we got some basic equipment, set it up, and set out to kind of, I guess, like I said, prove ourselves right. So we started the Middle Life Podcast back in 2014 and ran like 28 weekly episodes, and then kind of took a hiatus inadvertently. Life just kind of got in the way. My wife and I have a couple of small kids, and so I think we kind of, you know, just let that take over. And so for over the next like 3.5 years that we weren't doing it, we were always like, man, we need a podcast again. We need to do it again. That was so much fun. We need to do it. And we just never did. And finally pulled the trigger earlier this year and started up season 2. And we're now 14 episodes back into that, and we love it. And I think what I really enjoy about it, what I find so much fun in, and what's unique about it, is how well it, how well the three of us work together, and it's fun to see that. Like, we each play a role in the podcast, and I think, like, for me getting into podcasts, that was really special. I kind of wrangle the conversation, set the pace, the transition of the topics, which I don't know if you guys can probably relate to this. Like, when I first started, my transitions from topic to topic were absolutely abysmal. I don't know about you guys, but it totally was like, okay, so speaking of the summertime, now we're going to talk about hot drinks, which, like, made no sense whatsoever. Like, who drinks a hot drink in the summertime? But you kind of learn over time how to get better at doing that naturally. And then, you know, my friend Jamie is one of the wittiest people, funniest people that I know. Kathy, I know you've met him, so yeah, you can attest to that. But he's constantly throwing in quips and humor. And my wife is kind of who I would consider, like, the color analyst of the whole thing, if you can relate to sports and that, but just kind of provides additional commentary on the whole thing. So it's just dumb fun. And the topics we discuss every week are new and fresh. We go, like I said, anywhere from, like, 90s pop culture to nerd culture. We just did one on generation gaps, where we invited someone who was significantly older than us to talk about how to bridge generation gaps. It's just like, it's just kind of like the sky's the limit. And that's, I think, what made me want to start, is like, I can just use my imagination and have fun, and people will come along for the journey on that. So that's why I like doing it and what got me into it.
Yeah, that's something, again, what's so great about podcasting is that the relationship, you can really tell the relationships between the people that are on something weekly or biweekly, monthly, however often they're talking to each other, especially if you are listening to a podcast where they're growing in their relationship as it grows. Like, you just get so invested in their friendship almost. And you're just like, yeah, I'm along for the ride, regardless of if it's a tech topic or pop culture or movies or whatever you're talking about. You can feel whatever relationship is going on, which is something that's so great. And that's, I mean, that's where the name of this podcast came from, is you get to be friends with them, even though if it's kind of one-sided, you still get to have them hang out in your ears and feel that relationships, which is really fun. I love that.
Absolutely. We have people that will message us and be like on, you know, on your last episode, like, I was just like shouting at my speakers, like, yes, you're right. You know, like that sort of thing. Or they want to get involved and then realize, oh yeah, I'm just listening to something. But it's also cool just to see how people, I guess they want relationships with other people, even if it's just through listening to you talk. Like you said, a one-sided conversation. One of our hosts, he started dating, got married to his wife while we were podcasting in season one. So we got to kind of journey through that, which was awesome. And then now is like in the middle of adopting a set of sisters. And we kind of got to, when they were going through that process, he and his wife, we got to podcast about that. And then we just found out like 3 months later that they actually got picked for these girls. And it was like this huge celebration. And we're, and I know our podcasting community is like, they've already messaged, like, when are we going to get to hear? When are we going to hear the episode that you guys talk about them actually, you know, getting that? So I just, again, it's so cool from a community aspect, and just to see people really engage and care, which are people that otherwise we would have never met. So it's pretty cool.
I love that. And so now, speaking from the audience, what are your favorite podcasts to listen to and why?
My favorite podcasts to listen to, I had to think about this for a while because I listen to quite a bit, so it would just be weird to list all of them. But the ones that I prioritize were the beginning of the week, Monday morning, I have to listen to Upgrade Live when they're recording. So I know that technically doesn't count as a podcast since it's a live stream.
It's totally a podcast. It's the same, well, almost the same thing that gets put into your podcatcher. So yes, I count it as a podcast because that's one of my favorites too. So yes, Upgrade is a podcast when you listen live. I hereby deem it to be so.
And as I know you know, one of the fun activities when you're listening to Upgrade live is that there is a chat room, an IRC chat room. And you can suggest titles based on things that have been said during the show. So I love to pick out all kinds of innuendo-y weird things that people are saying and put that in the title suggestions, because that's fun to do. But moving on through the week, I would say that the other thing that I found recently is that While I test different podcasts, usually some things don't stick around or whatever, but one thing that has stuck around that I always listen to first thing Wednesday morning when I'm starting a workout is Keep It. It's a podcast on Crooked Media, and that's Ira Madison, Kara Brown, and Louis Vertel. And they discuss current events and various other things with a bit of a comedic pop culture slant to it. They usually have a interesting interview guest in there as well. So I would recommend that as well. I really like that. I would say that's one of my favorites. And then the rest of it, I think, boils down to Flophouse and The Incomparable. Flophouse is a bad movie podcast where they talk about flops. It is not the same as the movie podcast that Dan and I do, so I quite enjoy it. I feel like they have a really interesting rapport and a lot of audio problems that I always enjoy listening to.
Audio problems are so terrible for the podcasters and yet can still be enjoyable to listen to in the audience just because you don't have to deal with that stress.
I wouldn't say it's enjoyable, but it's one of those things where as a podcast maker and editor and stuff, because I realize there's a distinction between recording the podcast and editing the podcast, but as someone who is editing a podcast, when you're like, oh man, so they had that track and they had to turn that into something. there's something fascinating about that part of it too, which is extra meta level from the show itself.
Right. That extra added layer of listening where you're just like, oh, I know what happened there. Or, yeah, somebody didn't do XYZ right. Or someone had to pull the call recorder file and you're just like, oh, poor thing. And you want to give them a hug because you're just like, I understand. I get you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
I was actually going to ask if it's cool to ask a question. Would you come to editing, since I'm the one that does most of that? I was kind of curious how the two of you, when you're editing, like, I found that when I first started doing podcasting, I wanted it to sound like, you know, basically so pristine. So I would try and edit out. I would take like hours editing and try and edit out like every like dry mouth click noise that happened, every pause greater than a second, all the ums, any of the like the word stumbles or anything like that. And then like over the course of time now, I really don't do that too much anymore. I just kind of let it roll for the most part, unless there's something really horrid on there and pull that out. But how that, like, did you guys, what's your balance with that? I'm kind of curious.
For this show in particular, I like to try and keep as much as possible that natural rhythm and not have it too overproduced. But that also comes from me being on the lazy side of efficient. and so it depends on the podcast, whether or not how close it does it. But of course, this is the only podcast that I'm currently editing right now.
Right.
But I know other podcasts that I have done in the past, I also did that when I first started editing podcasts. It was very, especially if I edit for other people, I'm very like concentrating and restrictive, and any ums, any pauses longer than, you know, so many bars or whatnot. But it really depends on what the feel of the show is supposed to be.
Right. No, it's true. Keep it natural. Sorry, hey Joe, I haven't talked to you directly at all this podcast. What about you?
Yeah, I would say that I also try to keep it natural. And when I did start editing things, there is definitely that strong pull to be like, you know what, I need to take out this space between these words and tweak this part here and do all this. And then you just realize that it starts to sound unnatural when you're listening back to that later. And you're like, oh, I didn't really make it any better. It doesn't sound like a conversation anymore.
True.
It can be kind of weird and artificial. So I've, as time has gone on, I try to edit as little as possible. Usually it's like, if there's like fire engine sirens or something that can be removed, or,
right.
Or if there's some weird loud noise. The biggest difference in editing now versus editing when I started was switching the microphones from the Blue Yeti condenser mic to the ATR 2100 USB dynamic mic, because I have to talk right in front of it, and it is much better about suppressing the noise around me. And I also convinced the people that I do podcasts with to do the same thing. And so that has really improved editing, because Dan has a creaky chair, and it was driving me crazy. But that is probably the big thing, because I don't think anybody really cares about that stuff as long as it's just the natural way that people talk and, like, occasional little sounds in real life. Like, if somebody's looking for something on the internet and you hear some keys or something, it's not a big deal.
Right.
But if someone's talking and you're hearing keys typing, then it's like, what are you doing? Knock that off.
Right.
It's a different thing.
Right. Yeah. I think the most high tech upgrade I ever made was buying like a piece of foam to put over the front of my microphone. So, you know, I'm getting there though. I'll take notes on the microphone suggestion.
And you have a unique setup in that you record with everyone in the same room.
Correct.
Whereas most or a lot of the podcasts, especially with the people that I talk to on this show, they do it via Skype, virtually, etc. And so you have a whole different balance that you're playing with. I mean, I've seen you do that setup, and because I was on a couple episodes in season one, Lost to the Sands of Time, but we'll see if we can find those episodes.
We'll resurrect them.
Yes.
Don't you worry. So that's true.
So yeah, putting that all together in person, it's just like a live show for some of, you know, like the Relay live shows that are, you're going in and you're having to do a lot of the work in the physical realm there because you don't have this stable setup that you can do virtually. So it's a very different, combination there.
Well, hopefully, you know, someday we'll delve more into that. I may need to seek both of you out for some advice when we go that route. So we'll just have to see. But yeah, and then also to sound completely contrary to the question that I asked earlier, isn't it so great though when you're editing something and you do have to, let's say, cut a chunk out of the middle and you like splice it together perfectly and you close your eyes and you listen to it and you're like, dang, I was right on with that edit. Like, that feels so good. So anyway.
Yeah, that happened to me the other day when Skype spontaneously quit on my podcast host, presumably because it had downloaded the upgrade for Skype 8 in the background, because when he relaunched it was Skype 8.
And
so we had to somehow splice together the conversation as if that had not happened, because nobody wants to hear that garbage.
No.
So I did that, and it was just like, yes.
Right.
Go find that now.
Right.
For the people.
And the best part is nobody, you hope nobody will even be able to say anything about it. It's that hidden awesomeness where you're just like strutting around, yeah, I did this and nobody's gonna know because I was amazing. Yeah, it's like visual effects where the best ones are the ones that you don't notice, which
right.
is pretty great.
Invisible effects.
Yes.
So-called invisible effects where it's like, oh, I didn't realize that they didn't have a giant blood squib exploding from the head or whatever. That's awesome.
I love it. All right, Mikey, are you going to – let's have you answer that question now.
Oh, there were more questions. That's right. Yeah. Honestly, so I'm just going to be pretty real. So I might be more unique from maybe some of the other guests that you've had, Kathy, in that, like, I aside from my podcast, I only listen to, like, one podcast regularly, and then I have another one that I listen to sometimes. So, like I said, the one that I listen to regularly is the one I've pretty much been listening to for, like, the last 4.5 years or whatever, which is, I mentioned earlier, was called the Bad Christian Podcast. And there's a band, basically, that I've grown to love. They're called Emery, and you should check them out if you haven't. And, like I said, two of the guys from that band and then their best buddy, who happens to be like the pastor of a church somewhere back east, created this podcast. And why I really like it is because, like, I grew up in church my whole life, and so did these guys. And what they're really doing with this, I mean, does they really kind of take the direction to poke, I guess, at like the whole church structure in general, kind of some of the norms that have been established, and like, why do those exist? And really try and break down, I think, a lot of like the barriers as far as like just like stigmas that people have that, you know, that have grown up in church their entire life or something like that. And like really are trying to breed a culture of like, let's kind of think for ourselves and make sure to check everything. And so they're definitely not popular in that realm, I think, because of that. I mean, these guys are also, like, they're incredibly crass, vulgar, and also hysterically funny, which is why I really like listening to them. But I think that it's just refreshing for me. I've really enjoyed that. So, anyways, and they're just being kind of vulnerable, real people. And so I really emotionally connect to things. And so for me, like, that's just been really fun to listen to. I've really enjoyed that. And it's changed a lot of my worldviews too, I think, for the better, which is cool. The other one that I listen to, since I feel like everybody says like four or five things that they like, and I'm like, I have one. The other one that I've listened to before, I almost thought about not mentioning this, but it, I guess it's, I don't call it a guilty pleasure, but it's, so it's called the Free Sex Podcast. I said it anyway. And it's basically a couple of ladies that, essentially kind of talk about kind of like the, I guess like the inner workings and the thought processes of the female brain. Cause we always hear about like guys and like, oh, guys are so dirty and how they think and blah, 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 blah. And like they're actually like, okay, well, they kind of open up and talk about like how the ladies, represent that whole side of, you know, like the sexual world and stuff like that. And it's really interesting more than anything. It probably sounds like kind of like a creepy, dirty, like, oh, I can go listen to this by myself or whatever. But like, it really is, it's very interesting. And so I really do, I've enjoyed listening to that as well. It's kind of cool. So,
you said sex.
I really did.
And there's nothing wrong with only having a couple podcasts to listen to. It's been done.
I'm just
before.
Real dedicated. I took notes though. I have notes here on a podcast that I should listen to. So I appreciate you guys for upgrade the live podcast. Yes. So I'm gonna check that out.
Sweet.
Thanks, yeah. Wendy's at 9 Pacific.
Boom. Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Join us in the chat room. I will have a link.
Join the cult.
Yes.
become one of us.
Yes, exactly. All the cool people hang out in the upgrade chat room. But
awesome. I want to be a cool people. So
fantastic. All right. So now that we're done with the podcast part, it's time for the bonus question. And I have it configured now to where listeners, if you would like to submit a question that you would like my guests to answer, feel free to tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus, which is, of course, how I say it in my head every time. So now you've got a peek into how my brain works. But the question this week comes from listener Sarah. If you were ever on Jeopardy, what specifically tailored to you, totally made up category, do you think you would dominate? Joe?
Star Trek movie composers.
Nice. Nice. What about you, Mikey?
Well, wait, so I'm assuming, Joe, are you a huge Star Trek fan then? Is that why that came up? That's pretty obvious,
yes.
But yeah, yeah. Like a real Trekkie.
Wouldn't that have been weird if I was like, no,
no.
Star Wars?
You're like,
is the best.
Yeah. So, but if you had to choose, you would totally take Trek over Wars, then, huh?
I like them both, but I would say that if it was a made up Jeopardy question that only I could answer, I would probably steer
it would be
more
totally Trek.
That.
Okay.
Was that inconceivable where you had like that? There was a round where it was all about composers. Were you on that show?
I was not on that show, but I was in our shared incomparable Slack
thing.
When I was listening to that. And I was like, oh, Dan Morton, the host of that show. I was like, oh, Dan, this is killing me because I literally know the answer to every single one of these. And he's like, yeah, well, you might be the only other person because it was so difficult for everybody else.
I remember listening to that, and I think in the chat, and I think that's where it connected to where I was like, oh, Joe Steele knows, except of course, and that's another thing, is your name is not Joe Steele. That's just your Twitter link. But
yeah. Joe Rosensteel.
Rosensteel.
Joe Steele was a nickname that I have been called on occasion, so it was an easy Twitter handle. But
yeah.
But yes, Joe Rosensteel, it's fine.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
That's
We're
way
good.
Cool.
All right, Mikey.
Oh, the Jeopardy category. I've had a long time to think about this, so I should know right off the top of my head. I would say just because of like some of the, I'll let you guys, you know, behind the curtain, some of the weird conversations that my wife and I have and text about would be probably something along the lines of like, you know, poo consistency in you or something like that, because like we have some really weird open conversations about that sort of stuff. So I went there.
Would it be like,
do you don't want me to describe
well,
it?
Well, no, I'm just trying to figure out how this would be so a Jeopardy question.
No,
yeah, like how is Alex Trebek going to say?
Yeah, he's going to say things like you know, if you know, for example, like, you know, for $500, if your poo is the consistency of clay, you've probably eaten this food or something like that, right? So, anyways, yeah. We could probably go that route with it.
Alrighty. So, that's yep. A very unique answer.
If you Joe, you've been totally quiet since that. That's cool though. So.
He's running far, far away. It's okay.
What can I say?
Well, thank you everyone so much for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com, where we are a part of the Amazing Incomparable Network. We are on Twitter at Friends in Ears. Don't forget to send in your bonus questions to hashtag FIYE bonus. You can find Joe at Joe Steele, and Mikey is on Instagram at The Middle Life Podcast, and I am Mrs. Soup on Twitter. Thank you so much again for listening and for joining me today, gentlemen, and I hope you all have an absolutely fantastic evening.
Thanks, Kathy.
I will, as long as you say fire again.
Fire!